Anyway, here we are, Christmas morning. So it's lovely to be together, isn't it, today? And when you're this afternoon at about 3 o'clock lolling around after you've stuffed your face, etc., and you're probably snoozing in front of the TV and the Queen appears, she is going to say to you that she draws extraordinary strength from ordinary people doing extraordinary things. How do I know that? It's not a prophecy. Is there a picture? Where's the picture of the Queen gone? There's the Queen. There she is. We'll go back to the reading in a moment. And I know that, not because it's a prophecy or I've had some sort of divine revelation, but they said it on the news this morning. They always announce what she's going to say and what the Archbishop of Canterbury is going to say. But however, I want to say that she's absolutely right. Right on, Your Majesty. I say, all hail the ordinary. That's what I say. We live in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with celebrity, with giving awards to people who are already well awarded, rewarding the privileged and clapping the clever and all the rest of it. But I want to stand up this morning and say, let's give a big cheer for the ordinary. We have a proliferation, don't we, of ceremonies on our TV at the moment of people receiving awards. We've just had the BBC Sports Personality of the Year award when Andy Murray, I guess quite rightly probably in my opinion, won the award for a BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And there he is. There's a picture of Andy Murray next. Come on, Stan, keep up with it. And at this point, I feel that I have to make a bit of a word of an apology to Andy Murray, because I can remember publicly some years ago saying that he wouldn't win anything. But actually, I didn't mean Andy Murray. I meant Bristol City when I said that. But in case you're feeling upset about the fact that Sports Personality of the Year is over, you don't have to wait too long for the Oscars in February. Then the Grammys and the Tonys and the BAFTAs and the MOBO and the Mercury Prize. And then the I'm a Lovely Darling, Ever Such Clever Celebrity Prize, which will come later on in the year. And I get a bit fed up with these celebs and their dewy-eyed acceptance speeches, thanking everybody and then not really caring about what they received. And do you think I protest too much? I probably do. However, I want to say to you that at the very heart of the Nativity story is something that's ever so ordinary. All right, it's incredibly miraculous. There are loads of angels and all of this sort of stuff happening. But it's a very, very ordinary event. On the other hand, let's just read these few words that will come up on the screen here. Can you go back to the reading at the beginning, please, Stan? A few words from Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Lots of the miraculous, but in the midst of it, a baby's born in a manger, wrapped in cloths in this small place called Bethlehem. God is the God of the ordinary. That Jesus came for the likes of you and the likes of me. And if anything that you gain from thinking about the Christmas story this year, I want you to get that understanding that God is intrinsically linked to us in every way. Often we, when we think about the Nativity story, you may have heard preachers in the past talking about the poverty in which Jesus was born, and the shepherds being these ragamuffins who lived up there on the hills. But I want to say that actually Jesus' birth in many ways was just a very ordinary thing, that he was born like most babies would have been born in Palestine at that time. The house that he was born in is translated often in. It was just a simple house. And there the Savior of the world was born amongst the ordinariness of everyday life. And that says to us that God connects with us at every juncture of our life, in our joy, in our sorrow, in our sadness, in our success, in the decisions that we have to make, in the challenges that we have to face. God of the ordinary is with you and with us in this. There's that lovely verse, isn't there? We've had it read last night to us, that comes from 1 John, and it says this, that God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love the way that the Message translation puts that. God moved into our neighborhood. God is in the hood. He came close. He came to you and I that we might know him intimately. Now perhaps, probably, the figure in this whole story that emphasizes this point that God connects with the ordinary is Mary herself. We don't know a lot about Mary. There's a short genealogy for her in Luke's gospel. It talks about something about her life, but we know very few details. She was just this young girl that for some reason God sent his messenger to. And her ordinariness was transformed by God coming to her in this most extraordinary way. And what was it, I wonder, that transformed her ordinariness into something that was extraordinary? It was her willingness to say, yes. Be it to me according to your word, Lord Jesus. She was faced with this incredible message, this incredible messenger, and she was able to say, yes. And a bit like David was saying to us last night at the service that we had together, there needs to be a moment in our lives when we say yes to God. But not just yes once. Christian life is a continued succession of yeses. Yes, God, I will welcome you into my life. Yes, Lord, I will follow. Yes, Lord, I want you involved in this big decision I've got to make about my career. Yes, Lord, I want you to have a say in how I spend my money. Yes, Lord, I want you to help me love my neighbor who really instinctively I hate. Lord, I want you, yes, Lord, I want you to help me in school when I'm struggling with my lessons. Yes, Lord, I want you to come into my life and transform this ordinary existence that all of us in this building here this morning have into something that's extraordinary. And the extraordinary is brought about by his presence in us. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Somebody once said that God is closer than our very breath. And just for a moment this morning, if we can just be very quiet. Can we all be very quiet? Sorry if you've got a few kids chattering away, that's fine. Let's just be very quiet. And as you breathe in and you breathe out, God is closer than your breath. God is with you. Emmanuel. I wonder what it would take for you to welcome Jesus afresh into your life this Christmas time. But he comes to you not to give you an assignment. You might say with Mary that she was given a job. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God, which is quite a significant job, one has to say. Or I want the Christians to talk a lot about God wants to use you in a special way. And all of that's true. But there's something much more important than that. Is that God wants you to know him. It's about a relationship. God doesn't call us to him or doesn't require a yes for him in the way that you would give a yes to a job interview or something like that. God requires the yes that you would give to a friend or a lord or a king or a brother or a savior. Yes, Lord. I want you to come into my heart again this year. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you, is one of the songs that we sing. Well, there's another one. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. Or it starts off, if I were a wise man, wouldn't it? If I were a wise man, I would do my part. If I were a shepherd, I think, I would bring a lamb or the other way around. But what I give you my heart. Maybe that's something to think about today as you're eating your turkey and having friends with having fun with your friends and family. May you know the value and esteem that God puts upon your life. May you receive him afresh this Christmas. May you walk with him and know his grace and his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.